It's very important to have a hunger and an intentionality of heart to discover all that he has for you. It's amazing to me that so many churches just get divided over the fact of who's the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing? Because, you know, it's not one of those inconsequential things about what kind of clothes should we wear, or is it okay to cut your hair, or is makeup and earrings okay for ladies? You know, those things are peripheral, but this is a core, foundational, empowering belief that we either have or we don't. And it's just interesting to me that, you know, there's a lot of folks that maybe have just started coming here in the recent past. And just want to let you know, we're a Holy Spirit-filled, believing in all of the aspects of God Church. Yes. And that includes speaking in tongues. And if you have a question about the fact that there was heavenly language being spoken into a microphone in worship, feel free to talk to someone. Don't just get confused or offended and miss the fact that God wants you to have your own personal way of talking to him. And there's similarity in the language that we have in the language of tongues, unknown tongues specifically, in this case. But it all sounds the same when you put it together. Any part of the world you go to, you discover that when a room full of Spirit-filled believers begins to praise him in unknown tongues, there's a sound that's heavenly. That's the best way that you can explain it and describe it. And so I just want to say that, because some people just, they just are afraid, really, is the root of what it is. And so they miss out on what God wants to bring to them in terms of the power. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead that lives in us, and that's what he's offering to us. And don't be afraid to test that out. And maybe I just felt tonight, like as I was just worshiping in the Spirit, there was stuff coming out of my mouth when I tuned back in with myself to see where I was. I don't know if you in the Spirit, sometimes you can lose yourself and you kind of check back in for a second. I said, man, I don't remember ever sounding like these syllables coming out of my mouth before. And it was just very refreshing in my spirit. I know that there was things being released, and it's just an amazing gift that we have, and we should never neglect it, much less criticize it. So I just want to encourage you in that. If you don't understand the scriptures behind it, we've got great things you can read and look over to just help you get grounded in what the Word actually says, that we don't need to understand all the stuff that comes out of our mouths to know that God does, and that in the Spirit of who we are, the eternal part of us, he's relating to that by his Spirit. And so I just want to just felt like throwing that out there. And I'll just tell you a quick story. I'll do as quick as I can. I remember being young in my recommitment to the Lord. I couldn't put a year on it. Well, I was just finishing up college, so somewhere around 96, 97. And we were working on a project, my brother and I, back then, you know, you had the cell phone that was, you know, stuffed your whole pocket. It was like having a banana in your pocket or something. You know, just, not that anybody does that, but I don't know. It's just the came to mind. So anyway, so it's just, it's bulky. I pulled it out, and it was my wife calling. It rang at work, and we were doing some demolition in this old stone house, and it was my wife kind of panicking on the other end. My son Daniel had gone down a set of stairs and hit like a post at the bottom with his head, and then the floor with his head, and she thought he was dead. His eyes were rolled back. He wasn't breathing. She didn't know to check. She was just panicking. She's like, she used the word dead. And I thought, that's not a good, you know, when you're 20 miles away from where she was at home with him. And I wish I could say, you know, I'm a great man of faith, so I just knew the right prayer to pray. And I just, you know, we just began to proclaim. It was none of that. And I was so shook by it. It dropped me to my knee. I don't even know that I just decided to kneel and pray. I dropped to my knees, and my brother was there, and he could see by the look on my face when I dropped that he just came over, and we just grabbed hands. And I remember opening my mouth, and I had been prayed for to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and, you know, with evidence by speaking in tongues and all that stuff. And it can get legalistic if you try to make that the demonstration that you're full, because I didn't really know that I had received that part of God's Spirit to live within me and that gift of speaking in unknown tongues. But I tell you, I hit the floor, and stuff just began to come out. It still chokes me up to think about it, because I wasn't in faith. I was in panic. I'm like, I can't do anything about it. I can't Zoom home. You know, and here he is playing electric guitar tonight. And I just think, you know, I don't know what I said, and I didn't need to know what I said. All I know that she was on the other line, and she's like, well, he's breathing. And, you know, when we just kind of talked through it, an ambulance came and ended up some hospital visits and stuff. And even then, some of the stuff that they said he had that caused some of the extreme reaction to just a blow to the head that was beyond what they would have expected, like that seizure, eyes rolled back thing that you know, that he had arachnid cysts on his brain and it was causing pressure, and they did all these tests and stuff. And I mean, when you go from, you thought he was going to be dead when you get home, and now he's breathing and well, I mean, your faith kind of goes up a notch, and we just prayed that stuff right. Whatever happened, we don't know, but he's, I mean, every once in a while he's a little squirrely, but where is he? He's I don't think he has anything. He's hiding somewhere. He dodged it just in time. But I, you know, I just think the Holy Spirit sometimes knows where we're going to need him, and he's already on tap, ready to go. And that was just one of those reflex things. I guess maybe I could have just screamed and jumped in the car, but it was just something of the weight of knowing how lost I was without something that he could only do in that moment. That, but it was, I tell you, it was a witness to myself. You know, I wasn't trying to do it as a show of my great spirituality to the person that we were working with, because we were witnessing to him, trying to lead him to the Lord as well. But it was certainly something that my brother and I will always have. And it was just, it was the fact that the Holy Spirit knew what we needed, even though maybe we didn't know exactly what was needed. And I just appreciate that about the Holy Spirit. And I just as we were worshiping, I just felt led to read this. Felt led to read just from Acts 12. I know what the story is, but, you know, worship was just so precious and beautiful, and I know that's available to every single person here any moment that you decide that you want to reach out to heaven. You don't need the team up here. It makes it a lot easier when they're up here, but he loves every single one of us. Every single one of us is just one call for help away from the full power of the living God. And I don't know, we were singing about breathe and that breath in that last song, and I was just thinking, yeah, my eyes closed, and I don't know, some people, I think they struggle with things of the Spirit because they just want everything like in their five cents realm, and I'm sorry, it's just certain things just don't come that way. It'd be nice if they all did, but, and I'm just imagining, you know, our culture is so far removed from God the Creator, and we've been talking about that. But there was you know, the shape of a man on the ground at one point. If you read Genesis and you actually believe what the account says, there was the shape of a man on the ground made out of clay. It's very, very descriptive. It's very clear. It's written right out there. And it somehow he had a clay nose shaped into the shape of what we all have now because we're made in his image. The Bible shows us that, right? And it says that he breathed into him the breath of life, into his nostrils. So I think some people don't grow spiritually because we don't, maybe that's why Jesus said the kids are going to get this kingdom thing before some of you disciples do. And he's talking to the future apostles and the ones that wrote what I'm reading. But do we allow our imaginations? What was that like? What was going on? What were the trees doing? What was it, a sunny day? I don't know. It was a moment in our history, the moment that we came to exist as humans in the loins of Adam. The earth part of us was originated. And did he sit up? Did he roll over and do a push-up? Like, what? But if you can think it, your mind is actually pretty good at creating something. It doesn't have to be written in Scripture for it to build your faith. Sometimes you've got to allow these things that we know are true. There was no video cameras back then. We can't go to the reel and the security cameras and try to, you know, look at what happened. But it's written out. It was revealed to Moses. Maybe Moses had a visual, and that's what he was writing from, a vision. We don't know how it was that he got those first five books of the Bible revealed to him. But we know that the Spirit wanted us to know. God wanted us to know that we existed with the breath that we have because God stooped down. God stooped down to the ground and breathed into Adam. The Creator we have, he could have done it probably other ways. And when we sing songs about him coming close, see, when he looks at us, he's got to remember that moment, don't you think? I mean, a day is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years as a day. That's not ancient history to his heart. He made that man probably full well knowing that he would commit treason and he would bear generations and generations on this planet of people who would hopefully return to him and find him. But that was a moment in his history. Do we ever allow him to be personal enough to just think back? It says when Noah's day came that he had regret, repented, whatever, you know, that we could probably do a word study and get more accuracy, but there was a sense in his heart, what did I do? To the degree that he had to wipe out those who bore his image, except for Noah and his family. You know, this isn't the way I normally speak. I know that. The Spirit's so rich tonight. And if there's one thing I want to make sure we leave this room with, I know the whole church isn't here, but wouldn't it be great if 70 or 80 people, whoever is here and hungry, could begin to live by the Spirit in the next level of whatever that means for us. These that are led by the Spirit, these are the sons. These are the ones who have the DNA that stoops down, that sees clay, that he made his likeness out of dirt and then breathed into man, and he became a living soul. Well, I'm drawn to Acts 12. We're going to cut to the part that I think someone needs to hear. You know, the same thing what I read before. Do you let your imagination go with that? A rainbow surrounds him. There's lightnings and thunderings. This is the God that we say that we know, that we've invited in, right? Stand at the door and knock. If anyone opens the door, he comes in and eats. That part... Yeah, but he's so much more than that. He can breathe on dirt and it becomes the DNA that we all still have in some way or another. Some different than others, right? We've got to let our imaginations, because that's where faith begins to rise up. If he can breathe into a bunch of dirt, and thousands of years ago, that can still reproduce on this planet, maybe I can trust him with my finances. Maybe he could figure out how to get the car paid off. It just messes me up because guess who forgets this stuff? I do. So do you. I'm not speaking at you. He's reminding me of prayers that I've prayed that I thought he'd just, maybe he's busy planning the new heavens and the new earth. I don't know. But we forget that he's surrounded in that kind of power. He sits on a throne where 24 other thrones just fall off of their thrones and elders fall down and just worship him every time they catch a new glimpse of who he is, because the glory that he is, the power that he has, the life that he's breathed into us is still resonating through his creation. And that's why the words that we sing when we're worshiping him, when we're speaking in the language that he's given us, they have power because he breathed that breath into us. And it's still echoing through this creation. Or it's not, if we're able to be silenced. And that's always the biggest thing the enemy does, right? All right, let's just jump to verse 5. I do feel like the Spirit wants to really read this. My tongue doesn't even work right, sorry. Yeah. It says, Herod just started locking people up. He killed James. And saw that it pleased the Jews, so he's like, I'll try Peter next. He's a politician. He's Herod. He's the king. And so he locks up Peter. Figures, hey, this is getting me good points. We lock this guy up too. He follows the Lord. And it says Peter was kept in prison, but constant prayer was being offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out for his execution, obviously the same way as James, it says that night Peter was sleeping. That's pretty cool, right? He just saw what happened to his fellow disciple. He knows what's coming, but he's sleeping. How many times do I lose sleep because I'm thinking about whatever I'm thinking about? How's this going to happen? How's that going to happen? How are we going to build for 1,000 people when sometimes it feels like we're just trying to keep a couple hundred in the sheepfold? Says he's sleeping. It says, bound with two chains between two soldiers. The guards before the door were keeping the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him. The light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Get up quick, rise quickly." And his chains fell off his hands, and the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and tie on your sandals." So he did, and he said to him, "Put on your garment and follow me." So he went out and followed him, did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. He didn't have some great faith, right? This is just, here he is. He's being obedient. He's sleeping the night before he's going to be executed. Imagine it was a long day probably leading up to that. Thinks he's having a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard post, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Really sounds like a dream now. And they went out and went one street down, and immediately the angel departed from him. It says, when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." So when he'd considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. So this girl obviously knows Peter, recognizes his voice, recognizes that it's him. So excited. They've been praying constantly. The house that they're in says that they're gathered in that house for the purpose of praying. Okay? It says that they said to her, when she went to them and she announced that Peter stood before the gate to the people that were praying. And they said to her, "You're beside yourself." She kept insisting that she was telling the truth, that it was so. And so they said, "It's just his angel." And that's the part, as I read this earlier today, touched my heart, that Peter wasn't, you know, Paul and Silas, right, they're in prison, same thing, they're probably going to get executed or something, they're singing, and so we can say, well, they were praising, and they were such strong faith, and it was midnight when they really should have been exhausted and just given up hope, they're praising and rejoicing, so God send, you know, his angels to open the prison and set everybody free, and, you know, we try to connect some well-doing that of their own to say why it happened. Here, Peter's asleep. he's docked out. He's like, if they're going to kill me tomorrow, I might as well get a good night's sleep before. Like, I don't know. How do you? It's supernatural peace. It's the peace that we all need. Yeah. It's the reason why our country is being dissolved in many ways, emotionally and physically, because we need medication just to find a sense of peace, not the Prince of Peace. No. Just to find sleep. Here he's about to be executed, and he's zonked out on a cold prison floor. Because the Holy Spirit is different than the spirit of this world. So it says they're praying constantly, and yet the answer to their prayer knocks on their door, and they come up with every possible thing, even to have the faith to say, it can't really be him, it must be his angel. Now that's, I don't know what that is, but we certainly can't say that it was their faith that released Peter. Did they really think God was going to release him? They're praying for him to be released. He shows up at the door. They say, get lost. He's not really here. That's his ghost. They must have killed him early. You know, they must have already executed him, and his ghost showed up here to let us know. I mean, what do you justify their response? They're praying. Says they're praying constantly. He keeps highlighting the writer Luke wants us to know that there was prayers being offered. The house he comes to, they were in there praying, and yet the answer shows up at the door. The girl doesn't even open the door for him. She's so excited she forgets to open the door. But the people that she goes to tell can't even wrap their heads around the fact that their prayer was answered, to the degree that they come up with some crazy other, more, to me, requiring of faith, answer. But I find myself in there. Do you find yourself in there? I find myself asking God to do some pretty crazy stuff. Some of it involves people that are very close to me, and I want him to just reach them and all that. You know, there's that heart of intercession that goes out for people that you just know need a touch from him. There's prayers, there's deep prayers that we ask for this country, for the for the people that we know who are serving it, that need protection, that need to be brought home, that need, you know, there's certain prayers, and everybody's are different. For some, it's a healing for yourself or for a loved one. There's something you need God to do that's so only able to be done by Him that it requires you to be in faith. And I'm here tonight, I believe what God wanted me to take from this was that stop thinking it's about you. Because sometimes God answers prayers just because of who He is. Just because of how good He is, He can't help Himself. Just keep praying. What I see here is a story that tells me they didn't even have faith for their prayers to be answered. Peter's not interceding. He's not praising. He's sleeping. The angel has to kick him in the side and say, hey, get up. Put your clothes on. Put your shoes on. We got to get out of here. This is the God that we serve. He cares about us. He breathed into our forefather. He became a living soul. He's watched the decay. He's watched the enemy try to take us out. He's watched generations go away. And He's also sent Jesus because He so loved the world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were His enemies, how much more now that we've been found? Can we not just expect our prayers to be answered, not because we're such good prayers or we're such good praisers? All those things are principles, and you can't abandon them. The power of the words that come out of our mouth are real. This isn't some new doctrine I'm trying to say. I'm just saying when it all comes down to it, God is God. And when He's ready to move, some of the things that I need Him to move, He's going to move. Not because my knees are blistered and sore because I'm such a good intercessor or I believe that my prayers are going to be answered. But every once in a while, He just does stuff to show He can breathe on a pile of dirt. And it can become a set of DNA assembled together already to have offspring that lasts till we are right here now. He's God. I believe He wants to take us back to the place of a simple pursuit of someone who's more powerful than we are. We're so self-reliant and we're so self-absorbed in our culture that we're afraid of really wanting a God that's that powerful, that can touch us and our language can be changed, that we can suddenly find things coming out of us that we know is by the Spirit, but it's not of our own strength. That scares people. Why? They want to be able to do it on their own. They want to be able to say, this is the recipe, this is how you can have it too. The only recipe I know of is to trust Him. It's to trust Him. Because when we don't know what's happening, He knows. There's an interesting scripture. I'll wrap with this. Not that. I'll wrap up with this. Pastor Frank Vernal's with us tonight. What a blessing, brother. He thought I was going to actually rap. That's why I came out to see Pastor Josh rap. You could probably rap. You could rap, right? You could bust a rhyme. There it is. Appreciate you, brother. You're such a big part of our Wednesday morning breakfast over at the Starbucks, and just the way you've opened your kitchen for us to help out over at the Serving the Poor over at First Baptist. Such a blessing to have you, brother. God's really doing an amazing thing in our generation, in our day. And this is from Habakkuk. In chapter 1, it just says, behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. There's always going to be naysayers. There's always going to be mockers. There's always going to be people. But this is what he says. For I work a work in your days, a work which you shall by no means believe, though someone was to declare it to you. That's some powerful stuff. There are certain things God's going to do despite what people believe. Now, I'm not. That's not for us. I'm not taking it to that level. That's for unbelievers. But that story that we just read comes awfully close to that. You see, the Bible teaches very clearly, he's the faithful one. And he remains faithful, even when we miss it. Our faithlessness will never be a measure of his faithfulness. Some of us just need to wrap our hearts around that. Tonight really hasn't been a mind-bending teaching with a three-point anything. But if your heart's hungry for the things of the Spirit, you know he stirred something in you. There's a different hunger there. There's something that wants to know more of who this God is and the fact that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he wants the very best for you. And then some of the things he's going to do, even if it was declared to us, it's still going to blow us away. We couldn't hardly believe it, even though Peter's standing at the gate saying, "Here I am, let me in." No, it can't be him.